Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And thanks for listening to the show. So, Nathan, at the time of the filming right here, we're just kind of getting to the end of summer. And summer is always a very busy time for you in Redlands, working with the Redlands Bowl. Yes. So, can you tell us a little bit about what you do there?
Every year for the last, actually, 22 years, since I was really young, Tim Mahoney and I, we own a production company called Mighty Men Productions, and prior to that it was called Burning Foxes, but it's been Mighty Men for about 17 years, I think. But yeah, we run all the lighting, sound, staging for the Redlands Bowl, and this year, Legendary had the opportunity to produce, and I got to direct Hello Dolly there for their 100-year season celebration. So their 100-year season, their centennial year, I had the opportunity to direct Hello Dolly there. So it was really exciting. Good opportunity.
Okay. So now there's been, I saw a couple of the shows out there this summer,
mm-hmm.
particularly the Beach Boys.
That was awesome.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
You know, I'm actually going to stop everything and just comment on that one. You know which Beach Boys song I was like stunned that the whole audience just sang along on?
Which one?
Like, I don't know. It always shocks me. I mean, it's a great song. It shouldn't shock me, but it just of all their songs, all those great songs, like the whole audience went crazy on this one. Sloop John B.
They like, all sang that?
Everybody was like, I don't know. It wasn't Surfing USSA. They were singing Kokomo. The audience was singing Kokomo, but it was like nothing like when they started singing Sloop John B.
That's awesome.
That was hoist up the John B. sail. I was like, boom.
And then the phone lights came out and it was like waving. That was a pretty powerful show. That was a good concert.
Yeah. So anyway, but you put on all these concerts there. What exactly do you do with those?
We deal with all the talent and cast. So basically the RBPA, the staff gets them, books them, and then we deal with them. From once they get booked and they sign their contract, we kind of take over, deal with all the personnel, deal with all the their specific personal needs and the lighting and sound staging, all the requirements for the tech writers. And we meet with them, and then when they come in, we load in the shows, and then we put the productions on. We basically produce the productions.
How long in advance do those people get booked? Those are some pretty big acts.
Earlier. Some are a little earlier. Like Sierra Bogus, she was over a year out. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the artist, but a lot of them obviously have managers, and then some managers represent multiple people, so they book multiple people at the same time.
So this is one of the things that's always been impressive to me about Redlands is the investment of that the city makes to the performing arts. And that's huge. And like you can come here and you can watch a show during the summer at the Redlands Bowl. You can watch one like, you know, whether they do twice a week, basically two times a week. Mm-hmm. They put on
Tuesday, Fridays normally.
Yeah, Tuesdays, Fridays. They put on a show that they do not charge admission for. You can just show up and watch it. Donations are accepted. But these are like great shows. And you get to go like literally to the Redlands Bowl, which is a, you know, really nice little amphitheater.
And it's a free concert, which they say free, but they pass buckets for a free will offering kind of thing. But it's free. There's no ticket admission price.
Yeah. And that's like so impressive that they get behind that. And then you have this big turnout from the community. But it just is so supportive for the performing arts.
They're all about the arts.
And that's been going on for the last 100 years, you said. And this was the centennial year.
Yep.
And then with the centennial performance came the big theatrical production of which you were the director for this year.
Yes.
Hello Dolly.
Yeah. It was awesome.
So leading up to that. Okay, so it's the 100th year. Did you throw out the name Hello Dolly or did they throw it out?
We went through a big process. Usually what the bowl does for me, they go, Nathan, give me three titles you're passionate about. Uh-huh. And then I kind of do a little bid proposal. I do the pros and cons, talk about how it applies to the community, how it applies to where we're at in like our world right now. But this year was a little different. We went through 11 different titles, actually, to pick the right one for the 100 year. And we settled on this one because there was other titles that maybe would have more of a popular flair.
What were your top three?
there really wasn't any. I think I would love to see Hunchback at the Bowl. I'd love to see Joseph at the Bowl. I would love to. I know Music Man's done a lot there, but I like to do Music Man. I like to do Les Mis. There's a lot of good titles that I'd love to do at the Redlands Bowl.
Okay, so you had 11 titles that were just possibilities?
We just went through. We met with them. Steve and I met with them about a year out. And we met with them, sat with them in the boardroom, and Steve and I, and then Valerie and Bev, the program director and then the executive director. We sat down and started throwing titles out. And we were like, ah, no. Here's some cool things. Ah, no. We kind of just did a table talk and went around the room that way. And the reason we settled on Dolly, there's multiple reasons, but in 1990, the mayor was actually, she played Dolly Levi, the mayor at mm-hmm. the time. She was the mayor in 1987 to 89, I believe, but she was the mayor, so in 1990, she was cast as Dolly Levi. So that had some significance to the history of the community of Redlands, Carol Beswick. But she did it, and then also, it was one of the best attended shows that the Bulls had, and then also giving. The most donations, I believe. I'm not sure about if it was the most ever.
You mean like past performances?
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of the higher ones. But really what sold it to me was Dolly Levi in the show, spoiler alert, she lost her husband. He passed away. She's a widow. And her job is like a matchmaker. She's a jack of all trades. She pulls cards out for everything. She gets rid of ear piercings. She can feel those. She helps you get men. She helps you find your life partner. There's just so many things she does as a career. But really, what she's looking for is love again. And I think what it represents for Redlands is that there was a great past. They had a great last 100 years. It was amazing. There's a lot of cool things that happened in Dolly's life, her relationship with her husband. And now she's at a point now where she wants to find that again. And I think it's a good representation for Redlands. They had an amazing 100 years, but now looking to the future, we want to build and create something more beautiful or equally as beautiful for the next 100 years. And I think the costumes are awesome. And it's not too far off. Hello Dolly takes place in the early 1900s, 1890s. So I'm not good at math, but I think it was like 1923 or whatever. What's 100 years? I don't know. Whatever.
That would it's...
it would be 1923.
It's 2023 right now.
See, I did
so
math
that
right
would
now.
Be 1923.
So in 1923, I think...
it's good.
...was when around the same time that Grace Mullins started the Redlands Bowl, like in that era. So I think it's a good representation of that time period and where we've gone since then. I think it's really cool. The costumes were beautiful. The set that we designed, or that... Tim and Elisa co-designed, and I had a little bit of input on. But that was one of the biggest sets the Bulls had. It was 25, 26, 28 feet high. We used the entire space of the bowl. So we really just made it as grand as possible. We had a big roll drop that revealed Harmonia Gardens. It was just a grand set with the bright, colorful costumes from that time period. So it was really cool.
You know what... I mean, it had some good music in it, but you know what it did not have?
What?
Hoist up the John B. sail.
It did not have that.
See how the mainsail set. Do you know that song?
I do. And that was
Why
like
aren't you singing it with me?
Because I'm not. You're talking about Dolly.
Captain ashore, let me go home. Let me go home. I wanna go home. Home, let me go home.
All right.
Let me go. Hoist up the John B. sail.
That was like 40 years later that song came out. But yeah, no, it was a good experience, and I love that we were a part of the history of it. It was a complete honor and a blessing to be a part of that. It really was.
All right, so yeah, I had wondered about that, and when I saw the show, I wanted to ask you, like, how did you land on this title for the centennial celebration?
It just felt right. We went around the room, it just felt right, and then the reasons I mentioned were the main reasons, but it just felt right for the 100 year.
Because I mean, that seems like some high stakes right there. The hundredth year.
That's why we went through 11 titles, because we could have threw any title in and it would have been a great show. But the ladies really wanted to make it something that was special to this year specifically. And I think that was definitely accomplished. And the audience, literally walking out saying they saw this on Broadway. They've been to Broadway. This quality is how do we do this on a concrete stage? We brought in trussing. The bowl crew, the guys, our guys from Mighty Men, in 2 days loaded in that entire set. Trussing, we put that entire thing up in 2 days. which is crazy. That's unheard of. People have weeks to do that kind of stuff. But they did it. We were there till 7, 5 in the morning, pulling double shifts. And they really, I would like to say they pulled it out for a paycheck, but they didn't. They got paid, but they did it for me, for Legendary, for Steve, for Tim. These guys really pulled all-nighters to make sure the set was the quality it needed to be, that I wanted it to be, and they really did that.
How many were in your cast?
56.
56 people in the cast.
Yeah.
Who choreographed that?
Kirkland Robinson.
All right. And that, I mean, that was a feat in itself.
It was. Right? That's a whole nother, that's basically a whole nother project in its own world.
I mean, so
getting all those people to do something, to be active, to make it look clean, make it look crisp, to make pictures still. Because it's easy to throw people on stage and go sing, but to make it create pictures so it ties into the story is not an easy deal.
What is it like? Well, let me not get ahead of that question. But okay, so you've got a how many pieces was the orchestra? Do you remember?
23
piece orchestra, directed by Nolan Livesey.
Yep.
And when does that orchestra start coming in?
They came in one day prior to our concert.
One day
they
prior
came in to rehearsed on a Saturday. The cast met with them on Monday night, and we went on Tuesday.
And so the cast is really singing for the first time with the orchestra just
Monday night.
Monday night. And then all that choreography has got to go in with the orchestra
yep.
as well. And that's got to be something right there.
Yeah, all three of us, Kirkland, Nolan, and myself, we'll go through with tracks or a piano rehearsal pianist. And we go through as we're going, Nolan, I want to cut this out. I want to pick this up. I want to speed this up a little bit. We're going to take this out and move it to the end so it has a transition. So we go through that in the process. Here's a crazy part that I think is very fascinating. A lot of people don't know. We don't get to do a set run through until Monday night. We don't have the set at all. And then we open on Tuesday.
And that's because you've got shows going on there.
On Friday night, we have a show. Night. Saturday, we load in what we can. Sunday, we're doing touch-ups. Sunday night, we kind of do a rough walkthrough. But Monday is your first night with set and orchestra. First time that we get to do that. And then on the Redlands Bowl stage, we don't even get to rehearse on the set. Because there's stuff there all week. So we pop in every now and then and rehearse in our space. Besides that, we're at First Congregational Church, other locations at our theater, wherever we could be at to rehearse at Trinity Church, wherever we can rehearse that has space that represents the bowl well enough. So that's, I think it's a pretty awesome thing for the cast and production team to be able to make that work in a matter of like a 2.5 day tech week. It's pretty impressive. Adding microphones in, all 22 microphones that we had, 24 microphones that we had, all the sound effects, all that coming in those days.
And this is a lot of why we didn't have podcast recordings for the last few weeks, because summer is my free time, and that is when Nathan just gets really busy.
Yeah, between the weekday shows and then still directing Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, Steel Magnolias here.
Which we're doing in the round, which is going to be awesome.
Are you?
Yeah, we're doing it in the round.
In the round.
At YPAC. We're performing at YPAC exclusively. And it's going to be just in the round. And I looked everywhere.
Oh, you're not performing here?
Not at the theater at all. We're doing it exclusively at YPAC. They requested that, and we're down for it. So it helps also with not electrical bills. But really, they exclusively wanted that there. So we're going to do it in the round there, which I've searched everywhere for. And I could be wrong. Someone could prove me wrong. But I don't know anywhere that's done Steel Magnolias in the round. So this is kind of
exciting. Well, in Riverside, they did it in a triangle.
Did they really?
Yes.
What?
Hold on. Yep. And in Yucaipa, previously, they did this in an octagon.
Hmm. So, where'd you look that up? On your palm?
Yes. I've got amazing stuff written there.
Yeah, well done. But yeah, so it's really exciting. I think this show, Steel Magnolias, is really powerful. It's going to be cool in the round because they get to perform and experience kind of as natural as possible as being in a salon the whole time. It's really cool. But anyways, back to Dolly. But yeah, been pretty busy. So, yeah, it was a good time to take our season break.
All right. Though it does look like we've got a bit of a keyboard warrior wanting to, I will say, strongly make a suggestion.
What's that?
To you. Please suggest to Nathan that his production of Steel Magnolias will be absolute garbage if the cast does not... Oh, look at this. This is interesting. If the cast and the audience do not engage in a sing-along of the Sloop John B.
I wonder who wrote that.
I don't know. It looks like it just came in.
Oh, wow. Can you send messages to yourself? Well, we may have to do that. Maybe it'll be a pre-show entertainment. Ask that person that texted themselves if they want to come lead it for me.
That, I bet they'd be willing, you know?
Okay, well, we could do that.
Hoist up the John B. sail.
Let's save it for still. We can do it for then.
What was the most challenging part for you as the director of Hello, Dolly?
What was that?
What was the most challenging part for you for Hello, Dolly? I mean, was there any weeks that were more... I mean, I know, like, obviously, by the time that opening week comes around, that's, like, incredibly stressful. But, like, aside from opening week, which is, you know, the obvious answer, was there anything else in there that was a big challenge or that was, like...
I'm going to be very... Which I tend to be very honest, but I'm going to be pretty blunt right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was two things that made this process very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, and you may be able to relate to this a little bit, but the first one I'm going to talk about, which was the hardest, is 56 different personalities. There's some people that were team players, some people that were not team players. They were very myopic. Some people that were bossy, some people, there was just a lot of different personalities to deal with in the production, which was really hard to manage because your job as a director is to create unity and create this sense of, whoa, we got this. And you had, I had to put on a lot of mask to pretend all the time that it was just so good when people were just making it very difficult a little bit to do that. Like, I go up there and someone calls me and says, they have to miss Tech Week. They have to miss the next 2-3 rehearsals. And you're like, no, sorry. You're going to have to be asked to leave the show. Or they call you before and say, hey, I'm not sure I could be in that number. Or...
I'm not sure I can be in that number.
There's a lot of, there's a, yeah.
Why?
And, well, lots of reasons. It could just be they didn't feel good. Which brings me to my kind of two-part answer. Since COVID, it's been very hard because people are very, not people, it's hard since COVID to get people that are fully committed. Before, I don't, it's not political. This is a hard topic to talk about. But, people have a sense of, I'll use the word entitlement now, where their commitments don't meet, they don't have to be committed. You committed to a rehearsal process, but then they could call you in a moment's notice and go, hey, I'm not coming today. Or leave a rehearsal early. They say, oh, you're wasting my time, I'm going home. And then they just go home. But before COVID, I'm honestly saying I've never had to deal with that in my entire life.
Well, why are you wasting their time?
I wasn't wasting their time. I wasn't. The choreographer was working on a scene for 27 minutes, and they were sitting there. Well, here's the deal. They could have been off to the side working on their choreography because they didn't own the show yet. They weren't ready to rock and roll. We weren't prime time yet. But they decided to do that. So when people leave and walk away, there's two options. Kick them out. What does that do to the rest of the cast? Did they start seeing people getting removed from the cast? And
makes them not do that.
Well, I did. There was a few people that did get asked to leave the cast. And it's just, it's hard. There's, it's just everyone's a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more cautious. And I know we need to be precautious and make sure we're being smart. But it's just, it's a different world now. Like, it's a whole different approach. People's commitments are not as solid. And maybe it's, maybe I'm an old man and it's generational. I'm like, those Gen Zs are, I don't even know what Gen Z is, but I think I'm Gen Z. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what millennial
Gen
or,
Z.
Yeah, I don't know what
Gen Z.
I don't know what those titles are, but regardless.
Sounds like a, I don't know, like a some famous actress.
No, well, hey. It may be.
And we're here today with Gen Z talking Hi. About her new, hey.
I'll just say the personalities and lack of commitment was really hard. People just saying, hey, I don't feel good today, or I'm stressing today, or I don't feel like coming. Okay, I don't either. But
when has that ever been an issue?
This production.
This production.
No, it was just hard. There's a lot of, and when there's 56 people, it's hard to manage that. And then you get the production staff that has busy lives and are doing a lot. It was just a hard process. I felt like I was managing people more than It was just hard. It was a very hard process, but I wouldn't change it for the world though. I'm glad I was a part of it, and I love the cast. I love the production team. I'm not saying bad about it, but it was just, I learned a lot about myself and my lack of skills with managing people, but also helped me grow in that area too.
And if I could offer you something that I've learned, you said, you know, 56 different personalities, and really, I think it can all be stemmed down to there's two types of people at the core. In 56, there are those who like the song Sloop John B and those that don't. And I think that those that don't, you can't trust them. So I think really...
Should that be on an audition form?
I mean, I think it has to be. Because you can't be, you cannot be mixing those two people. I like Sloop John B. I don't. You're going to put those people in the same show? Are you nuts?
That's true. It'll just clash the entire time.
The entire time. And then
you, do you say, do you like that? Or do you say, do you like the Beach Boys?
Well, I mean, you know, Sloop John B. is not specific to the Beach Boys.
That's
the
true.
Beach Boys covered it, but it's,
that's true. And the harmonies were sick in that.
That's a good song.
It is.
Hoist up the John B. sail.
We better get paid for this. We have to pay for royalties for this now.
That's right.
Yep, Dolly was great. I enjoyed the entire process. I just learned a lot, and it was a lot of work.
Yeah. So, you glad that's done?
I am. It was like a marathon. It was a fun. I'm glad we accomplished it. I think the team did good. I think the cast did really good. But it was a marathon, and at the end, you're like, we did it, but you're happy it's over.
I mean, I saw you on opening night. I was there and watched the show, and you seemed fairly calm. I saw you walking around.
I was really excited. And then even after you were there, we added more lighting. We had like lighting around the whole Harmonia Gardens. We had lamp lights up. I mean, the show.
Why would you do that to me? You wait until I come to see the show on opening night, and then you improve it?
Yeah, we just weren't ready. And the guys knew I wasn't happy until the set was done the way I wanted to be, and they did it. And it got accomplished by our second night. We had all lights that chased. It looked really awesome, like vaudeville. It was just so good. We had lampposts lit up. And we had lampposts on the set that were from Redlands for the last 100 years. So some were old gas lamps that we turned into electrical LED lights so that we could have a part of history on the set as well, which is really cool. So we had nine lampposts up that were all from the last 100 years. So it was really cool. No, do not call her back.
I think I see somebody.
No, Shelby's gone. She went home.
No, Nathan, it is I, Stefan. I was in your cast of Hello, Dolly, and you did waste my time. You cannot tell me you did not. I was doing the choreography like the others, but then it came for me to take my break. I sat down, and I began scheming among the female cast members. And you tell me to take my script aside, to go over my lines. You try to ruin my life, and I do not know what it is you are doing. But it upset me greatly, to my core.
I'm sorry.
And I tell you, I love the Sloop John B. I sing it all the time, and it brings happiness to my soul, and you treat me like I am one of the ones who do not.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
Go on your social media.
Yes.
Get behind your keyboard.
Yes.
And start writing all about this, because I don't care.
You see how I am treated? You waste my time, and now you mock me upon the podcast? Nathan Prince, I never audition for you again.
Oh, man.
Well, that was a fiery fellow.
Yeah, what a great guy. Yeah, Dolly was great. No, Dolly was awesome. Again, we were honored and so lucky to be chosen. It could have been anybody for the 100 years. So we really are honored and lucky and blessed that it worked out that we got to do it.
Yeah, and your summer is still going.
Yeah, once we open Steel Magnolias, I have auditions for Man of La Mancha coming up, which is the end of August, is our audition. So that's really cool too. So let's keep moving forward. And I'm working on putting together a new season for our seventh season.
Hey, was there nerves going into this? You know, you being, I mean, it's the honor to be chosen for the, you know, as the director for another 100 seasons. Is that not also terrifying for you as well?
It was, because with Oklahoma, we had the Hugh Jackman Broadway set, the London set, we had horses, we got that set, his picture was on there. I mean, it was exciting. For Singing in the Rain, we had it raining on concrete. What do we do big and grand for the 100th year?
Like, you cast me, Stefan.
Yep, that was it. What do we do for the 100 year? So, and then also the expectations of not only the staff, but the audience. So at the end of the show, we had a confetti. We had it raining over everybody. Confetti, which you didn't see that either on open night, did you?
The confetti? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it rained over everyone? Okay, yeah.
I was just glad I wasn't the one to have to clean that up.
Yeah, luckily.
That was a lot of confetti.
It was. We put a lot in there, but it was really awesome. And again, it was just about drawing the audience in, bringing the cast out there. So yes, there was a lot of nerves and anxious feelings about doing what's best for the Redlands Bowl. We want people to walk away going, wow, that was 100 year worthy. And from what I've heard, because I sit in the audience, I'm a fly on the wall. I don't go up front and try to be like, hi, everyone. We do talk beforehand, but I try to hide. And just hearing the feedback at intermission, hearing them after the show walk by, talking, sitting there after the lights come up, hearing them talk about the cast, the quality, when the curtains revealed Dolly, and just those wigs were amazing. The staging was awesome, the set, when you hear all that. And then my biggest payoff for me, we've talked about this in other podcasts, is sitting back in the middle of the audience, watching the audience respond to the cast hard work, tapping their partner's leg, leaning over on the cute moments, or laughing, or like getting teary-eyed. Seeing them respond is the biggest payoff, because it means you got them. And that was affirmation that we did it. So, oh gosh, here comes something. What, Mike?
No.
What are you smirking about?
The only time I have seen you just like quite light up recently is when you're talking about this. You know, it takes you about, you know, like 30 seconds into this, and then like, you know, you start to get this excited look on your face, like, ah, blah, 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 blah. Like you're actually convincing me that you believe all this stuff.
I do.
You do. You can tell, though. I mean,
that is the paycheck.
You're talking with a genuine excitement when you do this.
It is real. I love seeing the audience respond and just receive the show. I love that.
All right. So
sweet.
I think that will bring this one to a close. So congratulations on the, you know, being a part of the 100th year of the Redlands Bowl. And for anybody in this area that's listening to the podcast, man, if you have not checked out the Redlands Bowl, there's, you know, by the time this podcast airs, it may be over for the summer, but you got to put this thing on your radar and check it out.
It's great date nights. It's fun for the family. There's a lot of good value to it. They have concessions. You can bring food and sit in the grass and make it a picnic. It's really a beautiful venue.
There is something for everybody there.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you've never been to a show there, you got to. Next summer, put that thing on your radar.
The Redlands Bowl is a treasure.
Yes, it is. They worked very, very hard to get this thing, you know, going for 100 years now, and to keep it going. And, be there and support that. You'll be really impressed with what they've been able to do. And the amount of, digressing a little bit, but just say this, you know, on that stage, how many incredible actors have been on that stage throughout the last, you know, 100 years?
Oh, amazing. Just to be a part of the history.
Yeah, you walk on that stage and you perform and you are part of that history.
I tell the Bowl crew, like the guys that work for Mighty Man, I tell them all the time how lucky we are. They wrote a book for the first 50 years of the Redlands Bowl. They have a book about it. Someone's writing the book about the last, like the 50 years to the 100 year. Mm-hmm. So 51 to 100. Someone's writing a book about that right now. We're a part of that history. We get to be honored and blessed to be a part of that history forever.
Nathan, it is I, Stefan, again. I've come back. I want to inquire about this book. Do I get my own page?
Yes.
Can I have a...
it's a blank page.
Sort of a blank page.
Yes, you can write your story.
Yes, I like this idea. I am in charge. But what I would like is to be a part of the centerfold. Perhaps I would be laying... Perhaps...
John, can you edit that part out? I don't want to think about Stefan in a centerfold.
You must not edit Stefan out. I am here just for the art, Nathan.
Please burn this version.
All right, well...
For the love of God, end this episode, Mike.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the 100 years at the Bowl and everything that you did for it, Nathan. And we will bring this episode to a close.
All right. And
I feel so broke up, I want to go home.
All right, thank you guys for joining us on the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. See you next time.